Back in February, when our pastors were still in Mexico, I got a chance to speak, and I did Battleground of the Mind Part 1. And these messages came about in 2014 when a lot of children were committing suicide in the area. It was really hard on everybody's heart, and pastors really grieved. We were talking about it one day. So the Lord gave me two messages in Battleground Part of the Mind Part 1 and Part 2, so I'll do Part 2 tonight. And thank God I talked to Pastor Rick. I was talking to him yesterday. He said, well, maybe you ought to review what you went over with Part 1. I said, okay. Well, thank God I got people to help me know how to do stuff, you know, because I would just breeze right over it. But we did talk about in Battleground of the Mind Part 1 the purpose for this, you know, to help, mainly to help people, you know, so they don't commit suicide and take that deception. And I think people really need to know that the battlefield is in the mind. You know, the biggest thing is in the mind. Yes. And if you know anybody that's having trouble with their thoughts after you hear this message, if you think it'll help them, this within a week or so, this should be online so people can look it up at New Life Church and list it online. If you could just help somebody, that's what this is for. And we talked about when we're born, we're kind of like a computer. You know, there's no original thought in a human being. You know, you're programmed, you know. And you got two main influences. You got the devil trying to do you evil, and you got the God trying to do you good. It's kind of like the old cartoon we used to see when we were little kids. You're like with the angel on one shoulder, the demon on the other. Not that they're actually on your shoulder, but they want to get in your ear, one for evil and one for good. And this is something you'll probably hear me say several times tonight, but this is just so important that every thought that comes into our mind is not our own. And that's just so good to know. But the enemy wants to think, make you think it's your thought and that you're terrible for having it. And that's who you are. And so we learn to battle this. That's what this is about, to learn to battle. And it's a battle for our soul. And praise is a powerful key to help us fight this battle. We don't ever run from God when we mess up. We run to Him. And some of the things we do to stay out of the enemy's control, we always want to forgive and walk in love. Help keep us out of sin. We want to fight bad thoughts with words, the word of God out loud out of our mouth. Think good thoughts on purpose. We guard our mind. We know that the word is the source. We stay out of strife, gossip, and slander. Don't give the enemy any foothold. You know, I told this before, maybe more than once, but I'll tell it again. It really helped me. I had a guy I worked with. He was like a manager over me, and he would do this stuff and it really ticked me off. And I thought, he's doing that because he knows I don't like that, you know, and it happened a lot. And one day I was thinking about Kenneth Hagin said in the one verse in 1 Corinthians 13, in the Amplified version, it says, love thinks the best of the other person. And so it happened again that day. So I thought, well, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to think the best about him. I'm just going to think the best about him. He's not doing that against me. He's just probably not, has nothing to do with me. I just forgive him. I'm overlooking it. And I noticed all the stress left my chest. I didn't know it was even there. I was real tight around my chest, you know, and it left. How that stuff sneaks up on us, you know. It's good to learn to control our thoughts, but that really helped me when I saw that, you know, when I felt that. So we want to also make sure we stay away from environments that would pollute us, you know, that pollute our souls and be a wrong influence. We want to surround ourselves with the right atmosphere, with good people. You know, the Bible says you walk with the wise, you grow wise, you know. I always want to stay grateful and don't complain. Somebody said to complain means to remain. So if you don't want to remain with what you don't like, don't complain. And suicide is not the end, if no matter what the devil may try to tell you. It's the start of the rest of eternity in a certain destination. One of two. Learning truth disarms lies. Speaking the word of God imparts life unto ourselves. We let the sun, S-O-N, shine in our hearts. So those are some of the things we talked about in part one. Like I said, one of the main battlegrounds we have to fight in is our mind. And don't think you're weird or strange if you have trouble in your thoughts. every human being's got to go through it too. We all got the same enemy, you know. I think the devil might try to make you think you're terrible or you're bad. No, we're all going through this, don't, you know. Let's learn to fight this thing together. Since we got to go through it, let's fight it and win. You know, we've got all the weapons to win. Yeah. We can control our thinking. Again, every thought that comes in our mind is not our own. But the devil would like to make you think it's your own, that you're terrible for having it. And so the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we don't want to let the devil use our minds for his trash, you know, to take his trash can and dump it in our minds with his thoughts. We want to ask the Lord, always be diligent to ask the Lord and help us to stand at, be like stand at the door of our mind, alert and ready to examine every thought that tries to come in our mind. Be like a policeman at the door of your mind to examine every thought that comes in your mind, see if it's worth entering the precious mind that God gave us. If it's good, we could take it, develop it, meditate on it. If from God, you want to do that. But if it's not, out loud, you could say, I bind that thought, Satan. I take it captive, make it obedient to Christ in Jesus' name. Get it out of here. Then after that, you speak life words of truth that would answer that. You always want to answer thoughts with words out loud, especially the word of God. So if the bad thought lie was like, you know, nobody likes you, nobody cares for you, you say, that's not true. The Bible says I'm accepting the beloved. The Bible says in John 3:16 that Jesus so loved me, he died on the cross for me. And you know, that kind of stuff will help you think what the word of God has to say about you. Always answer thought lies with the word of God out loud. The Lord always help us too if we need help. And praise again is another wonderful weapon to fight this battle. Praise and worship. It lifts you up in joy and drives the enemy away. You know, I don't think he likes to stand around. He's trying to run you down. You start praising the Lord, and you're, I don't think he wants to hang around when you're praising God. So enjoy praise. You know, we all know this here, but somebody online might want to hear this. But to have your prayers answered to get the Lord's help, people must be born again. They do that by asking Jesus Christ to come in their heart and be their Lord and Savior. Forgive them of their sins. Believe that he died on the cross from that God raised from the dead. He's coming back again. Then people have a right to be answered. Some people think, well, everybody's a child of God. No, you're not. You're not a child of God till Jesus is your Lord. Then you're a child of God. So if you want to get your prayers answered, you got to be saved, you know. But then again, one of our main weapons we fight with is the sword of the Spirit, the words of God. It's like an example of a toolbox. Like if you've got a toolbox, and you got a rock and a stick and a hammer in there, you're not really going to be doing a lot of precise work, you know. So the more tools you got in your toolbox, the more you can do, you know. Tom's got a lot of tools, you know, and probably Bill does too, and Steve, and a lot of you guys. So you guys know what it's like. The more tools you have, the more you can do. So it's the same thing with the Word of God. The more tools you got of the Word, you'll be more like Zorro, zipping that sword and cutting the devil up. This is interesting how I'm doing this, so excuse me for the delay. But by daily Bible study, even if just a chapter a day, we can start growing to become the overcomer that God created us to be. And we need to do that because there are things to overcome here. It's just a spiritual battle, and you can't fight it with natural weapons. You know, it's just not going to work. And so there are things to overcome, and God's given us everything in the Word to overcome every battle, to win every battle. So winning is more fun. So, you know, you can either lay down, let the devil beat you up all the time, or you pick up your sword and winning's more fun. So the Bible is true. It helps us know who we really are in God. We're overcomers. We're children of the living God, you know. And so making good confessions is so good for us. So I got Pastor Rick's confessions. You're going to go through this. This message is short, by the way, unless you guys make me go long. If you want to repeat after me, you can. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm lifted up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. I'm filled, led, and marked by his Spirit. I have redemption, forgiveness of sin. I know the mystery of his will. He has given me authority to win over all the power of the enemy. He chose me before the foundation of the world. I no longer walk or talk or act like this world. I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. So I walk in unity with other believers. I walk in faith. I walk in health. I walk in wisdom. I walk in love. I'm only what the Word of God says I am. I'm a child of the living God. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He is my God and Savior. He lifted me up. He set my feet on a rock. He made my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth. A song to my God. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long suffering. Kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm equipped. I'm free. I'm dangerous to the enemy. And valuable to the kingdom of God. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. I'm a warrior. I make good confessions before many witnesses. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it just comes to mind. You're speaking life into your spirit right then. These are all derivatives from the Word of God. You're speaking the living life of God into yourself when you do that. Thank you, Lord. That's a good list. That last one also about making good confessions is essential. It is an extremely important part of our success, speaking good things on purpose. Speak the answer, not the problem. The words you say can make or break you. Let's talk more about thoughts. Just because a bad thought comes into your mind doesn't mean you're terrible for having it. The devil, I heard somebody say a long time ago, it goes something like this: the devil take mud and throw it on your house and then accuse you of being a dirty house, being a poor housekeeper, you know. So if he tries to do that with your thoughts, to throw a dirty thought in your mind and then tell you how terrible you are, you know, you answer him with the Word of God. Just tell him, that's not my thought. Devil, I bind that thought, I take it captive in Jesus' name. Now, when we take a thought and start to entertain it, that's when we start getting in trouble. And who hasn't done that? You know, when the thoughts start coming, they kind of slip in on you. So you're not terrible for doing that either. But as soon as you catch yourself, you stop it. You stop playing with it. Repent. Confess to God you did it. He knows already anyway. But we confess it anyway and repent. Ask Him to help us not play with it anymore. And then we bind that thought, take it captive in Jesus' name. After you settle that with God, you're good to go, because He casts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness and doesn't remember anymore. And we need to do that. I think I lack in doing that. I think we need to, because, you know, when we're forgiven, it's like we never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. That's pretty cool. So that's what we need to do, too, is keep it in the sea of forgetfulness. If God forgives it and forgets it, then we need to stand on that knowledge when the enemy tries to come against us and accuse us of that sin. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's no condemnation. We're forgiven of those sins. We've got to remember that. I think it's one of the devil's dirtiest tricks, to try to drag you back into something you did in the past. That's forgotten. That's gone. So there again, when you're forgiven, we're clean of that sin, forgiven. The blood of Jesus, that's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses us as clean as if we never sinned. That's just awesome to me. Thank you, Lord. You don't ever want to waste time thinking wrong thoughts or think about wrong things. That's a trick, too. This is true spiritual warfare as described in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing captivity every thought to obedience to Christ. And that's some of the words we were speaking earlier. We protect and maintain our thought life. We guard it by thinking right thoughts and speaking right words. And again, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It becomes a sword when it comes out of our mouth. Here's a good confession I just picked up. I saw it on one of my notes. I hadn't seen it in a while. You guys should repeat this after me if you want to. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You always help me,
overcome all the lies of the devil.
I like that. I mean, I just saw that one of my notes. I put that on my list. What we believe is a big part of who we are. So guarding our minds keeps our belief structure intact. Daily Bible study strengthens and builds them. I got a note here, another note I found, that there's a minister I know, and he was having trouble with depression. And the Lord was talking to him. Gosh, I feel the God in this. This is for somebody. Wow. He said, your problem is, God said to him, your problem is that you're forming your thoughts on the past, not the future. Don't do that. Unbelief looks at the past and says, see, it can't be done. But faith looks at the future and says, it can be done. And according to the promise of God, it is done. Then putting past failures behind us forever, faith steps out and acts like the victory has already been won. That really blessed me. I like finding some of my old notes. Another thing is to govern our self-talk. And you know, that happens a lot. If you're not doing anything, you sit around and you got these thoughts going. And then you, if you start catching them going negative, you got to cut them off. You're like, yeah, you know, you're not very bright. You know, you always mess up. Or, you know, whoa, stop. No, I bind those thoughts, you know. So you got to watch the devil. He'll slip that stuff in on you. And don't let fear, wrong thoughts or worry or anything pollute your mind and make it that self-talk negative. Like I said, if you catch it, stop it right away. Speak out loud what is good and right, what you want and are believing for. Then think good thoughts on purpose. Now here I found this note, what Carolyn Leaf said. Now this is really cool. Because you know, a lot of us, probably everybody here, prays a lot during the day. But Carolyn Leaf said, discipline yourself to have a constant internal dialogue with God, which is called entering the directive rest. And I thought, gosh, that's good. You know, if you always got talk going out to God, how's the devil going to get any thoughts in if you're busy talking? Because your mind has to stop and pay attention to what you're saying. And I thought, man, that's good. So I got to work on that one. So thoughts start a progression in people's lives. It goes from the thoughts to beliefs to words, actions, habits, values, and destiny. So you can see the importance of thinking and acting on right thoughts. It can change your whole life and your destination. No wonder the enemy tries to fight us here. Even more, you can see the importance of keeping wrong thoughts out and thinking and speaking good things. The Bible has a lot to say about thoughts. And this, I didn't know what I was going to do in this. And the Lord was waking me up at night and giving me scriptures. I looked at them. So I had all these scriptures. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with these? And I just started writing down. And they fit together. It was really cool. I'd never had me like that before, so it was neat. So if this seems a little tedious, please bear with me, and I'm reading it instead of speaking by notes. I didn't want to miss anything, so forgive me. But the Bible has a lot to say about thoughts. In Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, there's an example of seems of people not guarding their thought life. And good possibility they weren't interested in doing that. Now, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 28:9, the second half of that verse, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knows the intentions of our thoughts. Since he knows what we think, we can't hide it. So, again, honesty is the best policy there. He always knows what. And he also knows we're fighting an enemy, you know, so he's on our side. He knows we're in a struggle. He's not mad at us when we mess up. He's with us to help us. Boy, I didn't plan on saying that. That's cool. So if you resist the devil and his thoughts and ask God for help, you two are an unbeatable team. Psalm 33:11 says, said the thoughts of the Lord's heart stand forever. Psalm 40:5 says, God's thoughts toward us are great. I look up and then I lost my place. Psalm 94:11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, so we know nothing is hidden from the Lord. Psalm 139, 17 says, how precious also are the are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Wow. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. These are good verses we can pray to him that can have him help us really get on and stay on the right path. We give him access when we ask. Proverbs 12, 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Proverbs 24, 9 says, the thoughts of foolishness is sin. Here's a good one. I like this one. Proverbs 16, 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's the King James Version. The Amplified Version says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. So shall your plans be established to succeed. I like the Amplified. Sometimes it paints, more words seem to paint a more clear picture, I think. When we commit our lives to the Lord with our hearts and mouths, it gives him the opening he is looking for to move in our lives and help us. He knows and sees all, and that includes what we don't know and see, so we gratefully trust him to pave the way for our victory. Words are powerful, and so even are our thoughts. So let's look at some more scriptures and see. Proverbs 30, 32 says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Now that's good counsel, because if we lay our hand on our mouth, we won't speak it, you know. And because saying it can start the ball rolling to create the destruction that the thought was sent to give you. And so, like we said before, we get rid of the thought right away. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Cast it down. Take it captive. Meet the Christ in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Now how that spreads is another subject, but did you notice it said not to think it or speak it? Keeping your mouth shut has a lot of value at times. I'm learning that. And not allowing that thought to be thought on. So the sooner we get rid of it, the better. It helps us not to think. I would dump it right away. Don't let it stay there and be played with. That too will help us not speak it. So you wouldn't dump your kitchen trash can on your table while you're having supper, not even for a second. So likewise, we don't let the enemy dump his trash can thoughts in our mind, not even for a second. Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. As we grow up, getting strong in the Lord, that's how it's to work for us. We take that good thought by faith, bring it to pass by saying it. We speak it. God wants us to decree some things in power. Ezekiel 38:10 says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think on and think an evil thought. This is speaking about Gog, a nation or a group of nations that is being set up for destruction. God spoke it long before it will come to pass, and it will come to pass. But did you notice the process of destruction? It says, things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. So things came into the mind, the evil thought was thought upon, then acted upon, and it sealed the destruction, the process. This is what we want to avoid. You can see how that process ended terribly. And you can read the rest of Ezekiel 38 and see the end of it if you like, but not right now. Isn't it great, the wisdom that we have from the Word of God, that Proverbs 4:23 says, above everything else, guard your heart, because from it flow the issues of life. So see how important this is. It says above everything else. That sounds like it's the top of the list to me. We want to guard our heart. By guarding and protecting our thought life, we're protecting our hearts, because we weed out the thoughts so it doesn't get down into our hearts. Praise God, we avoid our wellspring of life getting polluted. Proverbs 21:5 said, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenty of it. I said it. Adding diligence to a pure thought life leads to you having plenty. Isaiah 55:7, the word says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So even when you've messed up, man, you can come back to God and get rid of your wicked ways, your unrighteous thoughts. Return to God, he'll have mercy on you. What a great God, man. We're so blessed. It gets better from there in Isaiah 55, did I say Isaiah 55, 74? I hope I did. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts." So God has given us 66 books in this Bible so we can learn his thoughts and ways and come up, rise up to them and have them. Isn't that neat? In Jeremiah 6:19, the word reads, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts." The fruit of their thoughts. "Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." He received the results of having bad thoughts, taking them for their own, acting upon them, then reaping the destruction. Disobedience, rebellion, reap a harvest nobody really wants. The devil already reaped his harvest, his place in the lake of fire. Here's some good ones, though. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13, where the Lord says, "For I know the thoughts I have toward you." It says, "Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, or a future and a hope," another version says. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall pray to me, and I will hearken to you, and you shall seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It's nearly neat. The Bible tells us that he has thoughts for us that are all good, and they're good for us. He's such a great and loving Father. Now Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, false witness, and blasphemies." Wow. Remember we said earlier to stop those bad thoughts in the mind, cut them off, not to think on them, thus protect our hearts so they don't get down there and pollute the wellspring of life. See how bad the pollution was and what it caused in that verse? Man, that's terrible. That all those bad things come out of the heart. That was a polluted wellspring. How wise and serious it is to be guarding our thought life. You know, as bad as those things are, though, in that verse, a truly repentant heart can touch a loving God who will bring us back to him and restore. He is so great and loving. We're just, thank you, God, for your mercy. Well, trying to wait till the last minute may not be wise, since you're not even guaranteed one more minute of life, really. Talking about how good God is in Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now unto him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us." I believe I can ask and think for some pretty big things, but he wants to do far more than that for us and through us to help us and to help others. That's big. Now in Hebrews 4:12, the New Living Translation says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The word is so powerful, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That is powerful. Wow. In Amos 4:13, it says, "God reveals his thoughts to mankind." He definitely does. And in Romans 1:19 through 20, the word of God says that all creation speaks and tells us of his greatness and glory. Some listen and some don't, as you see in that verse. How great is our God. In several of the verses in the New Testament, the Bible talks about take no thought or take no thought saying. And that's usually Jesus speaking that. Now, when a person takes the wrong thought, say it's a fear thought, for instance, taking it, thinking on it can start a person worrying. Worry is actually meditating on what a person fears, which can actually work against them and even help bring to pass what they fear. Fear is actually a person's faith is perverted and turned against them into fear. Faith being unlimited in power, you don't want one of your most powerful weapons turned against you to hurt you. And it starts in the thought life. So fight it with faith. Speak against it, even if your knees are knocking. That's just a symptom. You know, we have to stand even when we feel in fear. You know, you got to stand and just speak faith anyway. Fight it with faith. Speak against it, even if knees are knocking. That's just a symptom. Thoughts are going to come. We got to measure them, good or bad, decide what to do with them. You definitely want to avoid worry. It can start the ball rolling in the wrong direction. Somebody said one of the definitions of worry is to lacerate by biting. One of the definitions of worry is to lacerate by biting. You don't want worry or fear to destroy you by eating you up on the inside or opening the door to sickness or disease. Worrying is terrible. Just how good thinking on a good thought does for you, how bad a bad thought does for you, man, you don't want to play with it, you know. Just taking the thought and thinking is bad enough, but remember the Lord says, "Why take your thought saying?" you start saying that bad thought of fear, whatever it is, you multiply a chance of it actually happening by speaking it, because there's so much power in our speaking. We need to stop, think, and pray whenever we get in a situation like that and find out what the Lord wants us to say and do, because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot with your mouth, you know. God has so much wisdom to help us in His Word, and He can help us get out of any trap the devil tries to get us in. We need to walk close to Him. Who's going to harm you when Jesus is big around you and in you, you know? Be strong and constant in prayer. Be like a battery charge, plugged into a battery charger, always fully charged. Holy Spirit told someone I know one time, prayer is the water that washes our thoughts clean. And I need to have an internal cleaning system. I like that. Remember, don't say everything that comes into your mind. Don't think on every thought that comes into your mind. Examine it, deal with it quickly. If it's bad, dump it, get rid of it quickly. If it's from God, think on it, meditate it, keep on it. You want to think on something long enough to bring it, make it into a memory. The more time you spend thinking on something, you can make it into memory, make it last. Like if I just told you my name and you heard it and you didn't think about it, or you didn't hear someone say it again, you would have less chance of remembering it unless you heard it several times or thought about it, you know. It's good to develop good thoughts. So I lost my place again. Also remember, you're not weird or strange if you have trouble with thoughts in your mind. Every human being has the same problem. Now, if you want to win this battle, walk close to the Lord, pay attention to things like we're talking, like the scriptures we talked about, what they have to say. Also, you're not guilty or terrible for having a bad thought in your mind. Not every thought is yours. But what you do with each thought makes a difference whether you win the battle or not. There are a lot of good resources out there. Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Dollar, Francis Friend, Japan, and maybe others have good books about the battlefield of the mind, which are good resources, especially Joyce's. I know Joyce's is good. There's probably other ones, too. You want to be picky about what you choose. When we did the Trap by John Bevere, the Beta Satan, yeah. I think we touched on this subject, but I want to go over it again for anybody that didn't get it. But some people think, and they're in problem, they think they have a real big problem, they think I can't forgive that person. That's not true. And here's how you can really forgive and be free. You make a firm decision, which is an act of your will. And you, even that's really part of it. I think when you do make an act of your will, as somebody said, the will is the doorway of the Spirit. I think it hooks up God to hook up with you and help you with that decision. So you make an act of your will, a decision, powerful. Even write it down and date it is a good idea, because if the devil tries to bring it back, nope, I forgave him, say. And you write it down, date it, and then take it to God and pray. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I choose to forgive so-and-so. I set my will and my decision. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. You can even take communion if you want to. So then it is actually done. The forgiveness is done in the decision. Now, if thoughts come back later to try to get you to think about that dirty dog, did you get dirty? Say, no. Oh, no. See my card? I forgave. They are forgiven. They are forgiven. No, those thoughts of the devil try to get you back in the cage of unforgiveness where your prayers don't get answered and you ain't forgiven. You know, so we don't want to get back in the cage. When you make that powerful decision, the forgiveness is in the decision. It's a done deal. So remember that, you know, that don't let the devil trick you to think, well, I thought I forgave, but I didn't. No, you did. You made a decision. You and God did it together. You agreed with God in prayer. You two together agreed. You got it. So don't ever consider suicide. You remember when we was real little kids, you know, maybe the family had company over, and man, things were exciting and happening. You're supposed to go to bed early, but you did the best you could to keep your eyes open because you didn't want to miss anything good. You never want to commit suicide or do something to make your life end early. You don't want to miss the good things that are coming. God's got good things for us in this life, you know, and in this life and in the life to come. We don't want to miss out on any good stuff. So don't let the devil trick you into depression, discouragement, disappointment, or suicide, or anything like that. You're created for a special purpose. And it's best to find out what your purpose is and do it. And even if things can seem bad at times, it can turn around in an instant. God can turn it around. Stay in faith. God will turn it around. Whatever we're going through, God will turn it around. Every problem has an expiration date. And let's hope it's today. Excuse me, I keep losing my place. I'm sorry. So we need to get our thinking problem straightened out. But we just work at it. Whatever you work at in practice, you get better at, you know. Our best days are ahead of us. These are exciting times to live for those who keep the switch of faith turned on. And praise is a powerful weapon to win the battle. Jesus loves you so much. Don't quit on him. He won't quit on you. You're the apple of his eye and special to him. One more little page of confession. Since we're talking about the mind, we have some mind confessions. Not many, but if you repeat after me, we'll do them. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You give me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.
You give me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
That you teach me all things.
That you teach me all things.
And bring all things to my remembrance.
Bring all things to my remembrance.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I have the mind of Christ.
Thank you, my memory is blessed. Thank you, my memory is blessed.
You said the memory of the just is blessed.
You said the memory of the just is blessed.
Thank you, Lord, you've given me a mind of quick understanding.
Thank you, Lord, you've given me a mind of quick understanding.
Thank you, Lord, that you restore my soul.
Thank you, Lord, that you restore my soul.
Which is my mind, will, and emotions.
Which is my mind, will, and emotions.
I did Psalm 23 for years and didn't catch that till just a couple years ago. Wow, I like that. Just a couple more. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You always protect and guard.
You always protect and guard.
My spirit, soul, and body.
My spirit, soul, and body.
My mind is blessed.
My mind is blessed.
My whole life long.
My whole life long.
I'll be sharp, bright and quick.
I'll be sharp, bright, and quick.
With a great memory.
With a great memory.
I can learn anything I need to learn.
I can learn anything I need to learn.
I can understand anything.
I can understand anything.
With the Lord's help.
I'll
not think the devil's thoughts.
I'll think God's thoughts.
I think good thoughts.
My mind is blessed.
The peace of God guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.